Good afternoon. It is 1 o'clock. I'm Anthony Moreno. Great to be with you. Welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public. This week, we focus on the Las Cruces mayoral race. We will feature candidates incumbent Mayor Ken Miyagashima, District 1 City Councilor Miguel Silva, and candidate and local business owner Gina Montoya Ortega. The number to call to take part in this call-in forum is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. It's your chance to ask these candidates the questions that are important to you. Remember, we will keep the conversation going on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at KRWG and also like us on Facebook. Welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public. I'm Anthony Moreno. This week, we focus on the Las Cruces mayoral race. And joining us will be all three candidates who are running for mayor of Las Cruces. They're joining us for the second day in a row. Yesterday, they were here for a television taping, which you can view tonight on KRWG TV at 7 p.m. The program will also be repeated Saturday night at 5 and Sunday morning at 11. The number to call to ask questions to these candidates is 646-2212. Once again, that's 646-2212. We also have the conversation going online. You can email your questions in to callin@nmsu.edu. You can also keep the conversation going on social media. Tweet us your question at KRWG and also like us on Facebook to continue that conversation. We have Samantha Sonner on the social media desk to inform us of your question there. Let's get to the candidates who are running for mayor of Las Cruces is incumbent mayor Ken Miyagashima, candidate and local business person Gina Montoya Ortega, and District 1 city councilor Miguel Silva. Real quick, we'll like to start off and give the candidates a chance to introduce themselves. We will begin with the incumbent, Mayor Ken Miyagashima.
Well, thank you, Anthony. Good afternoon to you and your listeners. Excuse me. Thank you for having this format. One of the things that I want to express to your listeners is why I'm running for re-election. I feel that our city has made tremendous progress over the last 8 years that I've served as mayor. We've have an excellent financial standing. In fact, Moody's has upped our credit rating to AA, number 3. We're very transparent. We have open discussions regarding our city decision-making. And I believe we're steadily improving the quality of life here in Las Cruces. Although your listeners can't see this, on October 13, 2015, in the Las Cruces Sun News, front page headlines, it says the city receives first in rating. Las Cruces is only one of 40 star communities in the United States to be recognized for our sustainability leadership and the first in New Mexico. We're a city that's a great place to live, whether you're young or old, a longtime resident or new arrival, a business person or employee. I've been able to find that balance in my leadership on the council, which is one of the reasons we've been so successful as a city. I want to keep us moving forward as a city, so I ask for your vote this coming Tuesday or next Tuesday, November 3rd.
All right. Now we will move on down the table here to candidate and local business owner Gina Montoya Ortega.
Hi. Thank you to KRWG-FM for hosting this forum. My name is Gina Eugenia Montoya Ortega. I am not a politician, never have been, and never care to be one. I'm actually would like to be a public servant. I have been married to my husband for 29 and a half years. We have 3 adult children. We have a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, and a beautiful 2-year-old grandbaby. As Mr. Moreno said, I am a small business owner. Me and my husband have La Fiesta Bakery over on Valley Drive. And the reason that I'm running is I do not believe that the city is creating any tremendous progress, nor are we improving the quality of life. Proof is that top 25th poorest city in the nation. And as far as a 3-star rating, that is something that the city of Las Cruces actually paid for. We paid $7,500 in order to receive this rating. So to me, that's kind of like your mom grading your homework rather than your college professor. So that is why I'm running for mayor. And I am asking for your vote. If you believe the city needs a change, I believe I can help with that change. Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have City Councilor for District 1, Miguel Silva.
Thank you very much, Anthony, for hosting this. Reason that I'm running for office is because I've always taken approach that I am that public servant. And I am here to serve you, the listeners of KRWG, and the residents of Las Cruces. If you look at the candidates up here, I think we have three distinct candidates. One candidate who has a ton of passion, yet she is very shy and administrative experience. And then my friend Mayor Ken, who I feel at one point had a much passion, but the time that I've served on the council, I've seen it wane. My passion has always been the same from the first time that I set up a recycling program as a volunteer and a young student here at NMSU, to the classroom where I teach as an adjunct professor, to being the District 1 city councilor. I think we need to be honest here and look at what the city situation is. It's not the rosy picture that the mayor paints. If you listen to NMSU professors Dr. Peach and Erickson, they tell us that we're still knee-deep in this recession. We need to come together. We need to pull our resources and our assets together and create a new vision for the Mesilla Valley, a vision not just for ourselves, but also for generations to come. Thank you.
All right. Now, we want to give you the number. We're opening up the phones line to you. The number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. We do want to ask you, once you pick up the phone to make that call, please turn down your radio so that we don't have the feedback. We're also keeping the conversation going on social media, so you can tweet us your questions at KRWG and also like us on Facebook to put your questions on social media there. You can also email them to callin@nmsu.edu. Manning our social media desk is Samantha Sonner, our multimedia reporter, and she is also the host for All Things Considered on KRWG here on KRWG FM. Samantha, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for asking.
Now, you've been covering city and county government since you've been here a little over a year. What are some of the big issues that have come up in the past year and that we'll be facing whichever candidate is elected mayor?
Absolutely. You know, the minimum wage debate has really shaped a lot of the debate that's gone on in the city over the last year. And in the next coming year, we have that next scheduled minimum wage increase. So it'll be interesting to see how that's handled, because there is a measure that a review does take place before that. And the whole harmless GRT tax bond was just passed. And it will be interesting to see how that money is handled over the next year.
Okay, great. Samantha, thank you very much. And if you have a question, remember, you can tweet us your question at KRWG and also like us on Facebook, and you could put your question on Facebook as well. But the number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. And folks, we do want to let you know we got a call coming in right now on who is the caller? Who are we calling in? Who do we have here?
Oh, my name's Chris.
Hi, Chris. How you doing? Now, you wanted to talk about economic development. What's your question?
Yes. It's economic development and sort of a space for millennials like myself. I was born here. My dad was born with Chol, and we went away for a long time. And I had the very awesome opportunity of being accepted to New Mexico State as a PhD student. And I lived here from New York City, and, you know, I wasn't expecting it to be a thriving, you know, sort of large city feel, but there's just nothing happening here. You know, and I recently moved to El Paso downtown. There's a lot of redevelopment happening. You know, the city's really invested in making the core thrive again. And economically, El Paso, you know, the Garment District in LA is probably going to move over there. It's a huge, huge impact on the city. And I come back to Las Cruces and there's nothing really going on, you know, and for me as a millennial, you know, I come back here and there's nothing for me to do. You know, the parks are nice, you know, but there's no heart of the city. And as a former urban planner, I feel like Las Cruces is utilizing New Mexico State, the students, the international students.
Okay, I see. Chris, what's your question you have for the candidates?
Sorry. My question is, what would you do to make Las Cruces a more welcoming place for millennials like myself, people who are young and want sort of more of an urban feel?
Great. Thanks for the call, Chris. Okay, let's start off with incumbent Mayor Ken Miyagashima.
Well, thank you, Chris, for the answer. I will tell you this, that White Sands, Johnson Space Center, and New Mexico State University have all been great partners for the city of Las Cruces. We're currently expanding our West Mesa Industrial Park. ARCA, which is a company that just arrived here, that's going to be bringing 120 jobs at $52,000 a year. They're going to be working with PSL of New Mexico State University to develop unmanned aerial vehicles. In fact, I dubbed Las Cruces as the Aerospace Valley of the United States because with the spaceport and Project X and a few other companies that are moving here, we're wanting to capitalize on that. We're working with our partners at Doña Ana County to capitalize on the expansion at the transportation facilities at Santa Teresa. We estimate about 75 to 80% of those employees will live here in Las Cruces. You know, I see Las Cruces becoming the center for transportation, finance, logistics, and other professional services. So that's on one end. The other end is we are working on the downtown area. We're working to develop that to make it a place that people in your age group will enjoy coming to downtown, having things to do, places to go, and also places to live. So we feel that we're working in that direction. I'm glad you brought that up about El Paso. We are aware of that. I think that's why the council and I are moving forward and helping to develop that.
Okay. Candidate Montoya Ortega.
Chris, thank you for that question. You are correct. I have children that are millennials as well. As far as what we would do to make Las Cruces more welcoming and urban feel, being that we're a small business owner, I have stood on the fact that Las Cruces is not a business-friendly city. When we opened up our bakery, it took us almost 2 years to get open. So that just started making me realize that obviously that's why Las Cruces has not grown and why other businesses have probably not been able to come in. And to utilize NMSU, that you are definitely correct. We do have a lot of intelligent people coming out of NMSU, and they have a lot of ideas that actually could probably help the city and give us the ideas on how we can actually make this a more welcoming place and give it that urban feel. Just to kind of touch on, you know, that Mr. Miyagashima did bring up about ARCA. I was actually at that city council meeting when the city did agree to give ARCA $50,000. But I never heard the 150 jobs that were going to come in. From what I heard, it was going to be 20 jobs over a three-year period, and the only condition was for them to maintain those 20 people for 2 years. So once again, yeah, that's a very good question. Las Cruces should be we're the second biggest city in the state of New Mexico, and there is nothing for young people to do. So thank you for the question.
Councilor Silva.
Yes. Thank you, Chris, also. Thanks also for your observation prior to the question, because you hit it right on the head. El Paso and Juarez are coming out of the recession, and that's, as I said earlier, we have to take an honest assessment of where we are, where we are at. When you look at Johnson or what's activity that's happening at White Sands, you're looking at deep cuts there. They're laying off people there, so it's not growing, as some people say. If you look at NMSU, they're like $7 million short on their budget this past year. The public school district was $7 million short. Doña Ana County was, I think, in excess of $10 million short. So that puts us really in a tough bind. Where does that leave us? I think it goes back to some of the relationships that have been discussed, relationships with NMSU, relationships with other regional relationships, like with UNM or Albuquerque as well. And I think it's going to be key to our economic development is these regional relationships, in particular with El Paso, Juarez, and the Borderplex.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We want to let you know the number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212, and we'll be back with a call from Raquel. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to KRWG's Voice of the Public. I'm Anthony Moreno. It is 20 minutes after 1 o'clock. The number to call to ask a question for the candidates running for mayor of Las Cruces is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. You can also tweet us your question at KRWG and like us on Facebook and put your question out there as well. Right now we have... We're going to go to Raquel on line 4. Raquel, can you hear us?
Hi.
Raquel, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I work with a small business in El Paseo. And, like, more specifically, where Pro's Ranch just closed down. And I've noticed that this year alone, like, a lot of business has...
All right. Do we have Raquel? No? Okay, Raquel, if you can hear us, call back. We'll get your call in. For some reason, we seem to have dropped the call there. We can go on. We have another call. We have Paul on line 5. Paul, can you hear us? Paul on line 5. Paul, are you there? Paul?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm just doing fine, thank you.
Great, great. Do you have a question for the candidates?
May I ask 3 questions?
Well, how about you get us those 3 in real quick, and we'll do our best to answer those.
All right. I was at the city council meeting this past Monday, and I brought up an issue about manufactured homes which are being allowed to come into our neighborhood in the older part of the city. And I mentioned the fact that they are in violation of the federal HUD guidelines as to how they're allowed to be set up. And I haven't got a response from the mayor or the city manager on that issue. So that's question number 1. When am I going to get one? Second is our candidate, Mrs. Ortega, is if you were elected mayor, would you support an audit, a state audit of all of the entire Las Cruces administration? Second is, we are in the presently looking to circulate a petition to change the city charter so that we have an elected chief of police versus an appointed, to change the structure of the mayor.
All right. Hang on real quick here, Paul. Let's get your first question answered first, all right?
Okay.
All right, what's your first question regarding the permits and everything like that?
My question is, why is the city allowing these manufactured homes to be set up in the poor side of the neighborhoods in violation of federal HUD guidelines?
All right. I'll start off with Mr. Mayor Ken Miyagashima, because he mentioned you in that comment.
Sure. Well, I think what, Paul, the difference between a manufactured home and a mobile home is that, a manufactured home is, by definition of HUD, is allowed to be where any other single family residences are. I know you have concerns with mobile homes. Mobile homes are not allowed in your particular area, but manufactured homes are. The second question, because I wrote your questions down, the city of Las Cruces has 2 audits. We get an independent audit. We change every 5 years, and the entire city is audited, and those findings are sent, as I mentioned, an independent audit to the state auditor for their review. They have a choice to either ask for any further questions or pass our audit as presented, which the city, I'm proud to say, has passed the last 11 years in a row with zero findings of significance. The last one, as far as the charter to change the police chief to being elected, I don't believe that's really the best route to take. One of the reasons why the city has been able to move forward as quickly as we have is because a lot of these positions that you're referring to in the county that are elected, it's a little bit difficult in that they control their own department. I think that the way the city has worked with a professional city manager and hiring professional people in these various positions is the proper venue to continue taking.
All right, candidate Montoya Ortega.
Thank you for your questions, Paul. On the manufactured, obviously I'm not currently in the city government under management, but by all means, if it is a violation of HUD, that is something that should be addressed. As far as supporting a state audit of Alda City, I would totally agree with that, especially being that should I be elected the new mayor, I would like to know what we're going into and be able to be honest with the citizens of Las Cruces or the constituents as far as where the city does stand. Not like we've heard in some of the previous forums that we've had. We were told that the city was audited internally. To me, once again, that goes to back to your mother grading your homework versus your actual professor. As far as to change the charter on to elect the chief of police, you know, that would be something that I think we should bring to the constituents or the citizens of Las Cruces, because this is a decision and that would affect them and how they feel. As we have heard several stories of questions that people are bringing up with the police. So that's where I think I stand on those issues. Thank you.
Councillor Silva?
Yeah. Paul, in regards to your first question, you said what you were asking or requesting a response from the mayor and the city manager, Garza. So I will follow up, make sure that city manager Garza responds to your request. It's unfortunate that people are living in manufactured homes. Maybe some of that has to do with our economy and the jobs that are available for those persons, that they have to live in manufactured homes versus maybe a home. In regards to the audit, I have no problem ordering an audit or requesting an audit. I was the one that requested an audit on City Hall and the final cost and of how much City Hall was a cost to the taxpayers. And I also was the one that spearheaded the police department audit. As far as the police chief, I think that that one there is something that needs further review, but something tells me that it might be a bit difficult given if a situation, if we have an elected police chief, what kind of political or legal parameters we may have to address prior to taking that route.
Okay, thank you very much for the call, Paul. The number to call to ask the candidates questions is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. You can tweet us your questions on Twitter at KRWG and also like us on Facebook. You can put your question on Facebook as well, just like KRWG. Okay, we're going to go to another call now. We have Mike. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for calling in. What's your question?
Yeah, I appreciate your forum here. The question is, it has something to do with building and getting permits set up and trying to have a small business get off the ground and have to be fought every inch of the way through the permitting process. And, you know, it shouldn't take 6 months or 9 months to complete a permitting process, and yet that seems to be the case. So what are these mayors going to do to expedite the permit process that you have to run through?
Great. Thanks for the call, Mike.
I'd like to take that if I could.
Well, actually, let's start off with move down the line and have candidate Ortega go ahead and take that.
All right, Mike, thank you for your question. Should I be elected the mayor, I would like to go in there and review that whole process, being that I am not currently part of that city government. I am not aware of what the holdups are. So I would like to go in there and see what the issues are and clarify what we can. I do understand that there are I's to dot and T's to cross. But like you said, and like I've said, it shouldn't take 6, 9, or 2 years to get a business open. So I would definitely go in there and review that and see what we can do to simplify that process.
Okay, Councillor Silva.
Yes, in regards to the building permits, that has been there for too long. As of recent, we hired a new assistant city manager, and his job assignment number one was to reverse this trend. And so when elected on the next day, I plan on addressing that and taking it even the next step. I know we even have a business liaison person that we just hired to also assist with the process. So again, we have a lot to work to do. It's unfortunate that it's taken so long to address, but it's something that's definitely in the process of improving.
Mayor Miyagashima.
Yes, and I just want to echo what Councillor Silva says. The city recognizes that issue. They don't like being called being business friendly. So the city did move forward with a business liaison to help people who are whether in business to navigate the city's permitting process. They're also looking to change the role of the inspector so that they just have a one-time list in the past, they would have different punch lists. They'd have something, then they'd call in for an inspection, and then a different inspector comes in and tells them to change it. That's not going to happen anymore. It's going to be a one-time shot. That inspector has, if he lists five things and the resident gets four things done, the new inspector can only talk on that one issue that's outstanding, it'll help expedite this. And then the last thing that the city has done, we've budgeted over $500,000 for new software that allows the community development department, if you have a business owner, submits plans, or a developer, we'll be able to do it electronically. They'll be able to go to all the various departments via the internet and through the communicate with the engineers of the applicant, thus reducing downtime, saving the applicant money and time, and getting moving forward with their project.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. And the number to call to ask your question is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. We also have the conversation going on social media. You can tweet us your question at KRWG and like us on Facebook. And it seems like we have some questions there. We're going now to Samantha Sonner. Samantha.
Yes, we have a question from Lucas Herndon, who wants to know how Ms. Ortega proposes to engage more of the people when she says more representation is needed when voter turnout is so low.
Okay, well, let's go to candidate Ortega.
Thank you for that question, Lucas. How I would is currently I'm building my platform. I have been out talking to everybody and anybody that will listen to me. And a lot of people are just saying that they have lost confidence in the system. They don't get out to vote. They said their voice doesn't matter. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. Why waste their time? I believe when I get in there to be mayor and actually instill the confidence back in the people, I believe the people will come out and vote, because they will know that their voice does matter. Not only will they vote, but they will be involved to be contacting myself and other city council people to say, hey, this is what the city needs, this is what the city wants. And I think once the citizens or their constituents of the city of Las Cruces actually see that, you know what, somebody does care, I think that they will get out and be more involved.
Okay, let's go. Councilor Silva, would you like to weigh in on
sure.
voter turnout and representation?
Well, voter turnout is unfortunate that we have such low voter turnout. It would be nice if more voters, and I addressed this, I think that 42-day window prior to the election doesn't really allow the community to get to know their candidates or let candidates prepare to run for office. So I will propose a charter change to increase the time from 42 to 60 days. In regards to the question, the surveys, the city has conducted numerous surveys. Also, as city councilor, I've hosted two community or district one meetings in the fall and spring every year since being a city councilor. And also, I've also taken it to be to take the extra step and go out and listen to the persons in the event of the minimum wage, the impact fees, and the farmers market, converting them to being self-managing. I went out and I spoke with them to connect with the persons who were involved in those various projects.
Mayor Miyashima.
Yes, and I want to appreciate Councilor Silva reconfirming that the city does listen. We do have citizen surveys. We do have town hall meetings. The city hired 2 years ago a public liaison to deal with residents' concerns, much like we just hired a business liaison. You know, we recognize that voter turnout is low, and so I actually had a chance to talk to a lot of the voters who didn't vote in city elections. And surprisingly, some of the responses was that they said, you know what, the city's doing well. There's not a whole lot of things wrong with it. They don't really turn out. I mean, that's honestly what their response was to me. When I asked them, you know, what they did, you know, they told me they worked for either a nonprofit or they worked for the state. But nonetheless, that's what their response was.
Okay, thank you. The number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212 to ask the candidates running for mayor of Las Cruces a question. You could also tweet us your questions at KRWG and like us on Facebook. Right now, we're going to Raquel. Raquel, can you hear us? Raquel.
Hi, I think my call dropped earlier.
It's okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about how, like, the business in, like, centralized Las Cruces has moved to, like, where Sonoma is.
And I've seen a lot of businesses lose walk-in and even have to close down because of this. And I was wondering what you guys are going to do to bring business back to centralized Las Cruces.
Okay, Raquel, thanks for the call. Councillor Silva, let's start with you. You represent a district in downtown. Could you answer this question?
Yeah, no, with the downtown revitalization, the new plaza that's being built, we feel that these kind of catalytic projects will hopefully spur economic development and attract businesses to come into the area. In regards to El Paseo, I think that that is going to be a much bigger challenge. I do realize and recognize that it is a transportation corridor from downtown all the way to NMSU. So I think we really need to work more with the stakeholders, because at some point we're going to need private investment. We can't just rely on the government or to always bail everyone out of the situation. And with the downturn in the economy, the views and perspectives of the private sector are very important.
Okay. Mayor, would you like to weigh in on this?
Sure. Raquel, regarding the El Paseo area, yes, it was a big blow when Pros Ranch left. I will say, and I can't really disclose who, but there is a large organization is looking at that very space, and we felt that that would be a huge shot in the arm there. Across the ways at the old Kmart building prior to it being occupied, I was working with various businesses that thought that they might be able to use that space as well. It was actually a little bit too large for them. One of the things that we need to work with our state and some of our other stakeholders is to actually increase the capability of high-speed internet in that particular area. You're right. Unfortunately, some of the businesses moves away, but it's because of some of the other technological advantages that they have. We need to work and bring that back to the El Paseo area. I think that's a big plus. The last thing is transportation. The city is trying to work with the university in maybe developing some types of transportation issues for our students to be able to come to the El Paseo area. What idea that was thrown out is an actual type of a trolley that can go back and forth between the university and the downtown or the El Paseo area.
Okay. Candidate Ortega, would you like to weigh in?
Hello, Raquel. Thank you for that question. That is definitely, like Mr. Silva said, El Paseo is going to be a difficult one to deal with, because as you are correct, that the majority of the business is moving out east from Telshire on up. But I believe that once a city does become a more business-friendly city, I think that'll encourage small local people that might be interested in opening up something in all those empty little buildings. And at the same time, once those little building, those businesses come in, I think that'll open the door maybe to bigger businesses that could come in and utilize those bigger buildings. So yeah, that would be really nice to see El Paseo, but that's definitely a tough one because, I mean, we have pretty much killed from Telshore down.
Okay, we have plenty of calls waiting to come in. The number to call is 646-2212 to ask a question to the candidates for mayor. Next, we're going to Karen. Karen has a question about recreational activities. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what's your question, Karen?
So, I know we've been talking a lot about attracting business and economic development, but a lot of businesses, and I know people, are concerned with quality of life, specifically recreational facilities for both adults and students. And I was just wondering if there was any plan in anybody's platform for increasing or maybe remodeling, updating the Mearsheim Recreational Facility, what the plan is for the swimming pool, and increasing the capacity of, for example, soccer fields and other outdoor spaces for children and youth.
Okay, thanks for the call, Karen. Mr. Mayor, we'll start with you.
Sure. Thanks, Karen, for that question. The city's looking at this from a four-point approach. First, we're trying to work with our Las Cruces Public Schools and expanding a lot of the facilities that they have access to, such as soccer fields and basketball courts. That way there, we can let the public be able to use that, because that is obviously government-owned facility. As far as the swimming pool, the Olympic-sized swimming pool, the city is moving in that direction. We recognize that that is both a quality of life issue and an economic development issue, because if we were to have this, we could have a lot more swim meets from around the state coming here to Las Cruces. The parks is something there that you're going to see the city probably move away from these small pocket parks and maybe look towards a lot of the larger parks, such as Veterans Park, Young Park, something like that, that can serve the public in a better, larger capacity. The last one is the city in the near the new public safety complex off of Sonoma Ranch Boulevard. We have budgeted and we have planned for some other facilities, soccer fields and baseball fields in that particular area.
Okay, Councillor, Candidate Ortega.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for that question. As you asked, the children were important on any of our platforms. That's definitely one of the legs that I am standing on. I believe there is not enough for children here to do. Like I did state, I do have three adult children. So I'm not worried about my children, but I am worried about other people's children because they are our future. You brought up Meerschaum. It's pretty sad. The city of Las Cruces, second city, biggest in the state of New Mexico, and we have one public gym. And on other forums that we have done, we've heard from people that said, if you want to get into Meerschaum, it's near impossible. When my daughter did play competitive basketball on a traveling team, I could easily get a gym in El Paso faster than I could get one here in Las Cruces. So definitely, we do need to look at, I know it does come down to dollars, and I think that many years ago, we should have actually been already looking to try to work with Las Cruces Public Schools because those are taxpayer facilities. I do understand that the state does control them. So that would definitely be, I would believe, an easy fix since it does come down to dollars. Outdoor spaces, you're right on point right there as well. I met a family that moved here from California, and she had four children. She was able to get three of them on summer participations, baseball and soccer teams, and one of them had to sit out because there was not enough room. How could you turn away one child because there's not enough room? That just didn't make sense to me. And she said, you know, she was really disappointed coming to Las Cruces. She said, you know, we have more Walmarts than we do stuff for children to do, more soccer fields, more baseball fields, whatever it may be. So that's definitely an interesting question, and the children are an important factor on my platform.
Councillor Silva.
Yes, thank you, Karen, for that question there. In regards to quality of life, improving Meerschaum, I'll agree that Meerschaum could use some improvements. Those types of amenities, of quality of life amenities, do have a economic development opportunity. However, if we don't improve our economy, if we don't bring good jobs here, we can have the best facilities in the world, and people are still not going to come here or come to Las Cruces. So I think before we start looking at these quality of life issues, improving them, which I do support, we really have to look at our economy and improving our economy and bringing good jobs. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Next up, we are going to go to Paul. Paul, thanks for calling.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Paul, do you have a question?
Yes. I wanted to hear the mayor and the two incumbents' response on the recent church bombings and what they plan to do to prevent future bombings and attacks.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Paul. Mr. Mayor, let's start with you.
Well, thanks, Paul, for that question. The city, I just wanted to tell you, is doing everything possibly. I had a safety meeting, and that was to allow the public the chance to see that the city of Las Cruces is handling these church bombings according to federal guidelines. And it also provided some tips for the residents to make their residence a little bit safer, also to be a little bit more vigilant, and to be able to share whatever information that they have with the police department. The second thing is that's very important is to recognize that although it may sound like there's a lot going on, this is something here that the city and the county have been doing for years. I mean, they've always had bomb threats. They've also had these issues. Unfortunately, because of the time we live in and the situation that just occurred, it's been amplified quite a bit. So it gives the impression that there's a lot more happening when really, in fact, they've actually been doing this for several years now. So the city and the county are working together to solve this problem, solve the person who did these bombings. I can't disclose a whole lot more, but I think they are on to a lot of leads. They have a lot of good information, and I will just tell you this much, a lot of forensic science is being used.
Councillor Silva?
Yeah, I have a full confidence that Chief Montoya is doing all he can, him and his staff, and the department is doing their best to catch the persons who are responsible for this unfortunate these hideous crimes, basically. I know because it was involved with a mailbox that we have federal assistance, ATF assistance, and I know they're probably working very diligent on this project or on finding these individuals who are responsible. We had an incident at one point where we had a arsonist in the Mesquite District, and I know that the department was very much involved. They had other agencies involved, and not much could be disclosed to the public because of the techniques that were being used. But as mentioned, I have full confidence in our department that they are working hard to find these culprits.
Candidate Ortega, would you like to weigh in on this?
Sure, I actually would. Paul, thank you for that question. When it comes to public safety, I don't think there's, we can never do too much. So I would do whatever it would take to get whatever entities to keep the city as safe as possible. I know that back in 2009, the city of Las Cruces actually had an assessment done by Dr. Craig Ushida. He was a doctor. He led the research on the on King case in Los Angeles, and he actually recommended to the city of Las Cruces 13 different situations that he felt the police department could reinforce to help with the safety of the city of the of Las Cruces. And from what I understand, the city of Las Cruces has not utilized any of those 13 situations that he brought up. So I think, once again, if somebody is doing these reports, they obviously see something that we on the inside don't see. So I think we need to utilize anything and everything that we can to keep the city and the people safe here in Las Cruces.
All right, thanks for the call. Once again, the number to call is 646-2212 to ask a question to the candidates who are running for mayor. We want to go right now to Steve. Steve, how you doing? Steve?
Oh, hello. Hi. I'd like the candidates to comment or describe what happened a year ago with the minimum wage debate. It became a crisis of sorts. And then what would they do different this time? Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Steve, thanks for the call. Let's start off with Councilor Silva. Let's start with you.
Well, Steve, I had to, when that discussion first came forward, I worked very diligently with my colleague, Councillor Leventino. We went and we brought CAFE to the table and the chamber and other independent business persons. We tried to negotiate a middle point. I thought we were close. Unfortunately, I felt that the proponents of minimum wage had a different agenda. They were trying to get candidates elected and they wanted to bring that to the November election. It got very complex. Mainly because there was politics being played up in the dais. At one point, I thought the mayor was supportive of the direction that we were headed in terms of finding a middle point, but at the last minute, he turned or decided to vote against what we were trying to bring forth in terms of a negotiated settlement. What was brought forth in front of us was to raise minimum wage, which had an impact on the entire community, including businesses and workers. I felt very strongly that when you're dealing with small businesses and residents, workers, you can't play politics because you're playing with people's lives and businesses. So my record was consistent on that. Out of the 9 votes, I voted 7 out of the 9 votes to raise minimum wage.
Oh, Councilor Silver, real quick. I mean, you voted 7 out of 9 to raise the minimum wage,
yes,
but
did.
That wasn't the minimum wage increase that the proponents for minimum wage increase that put the petition forward wanted, correct?
Well, the petition that came before us was to raise minimum wage. It was not to go to the voters. That's what I voted on.
Mayor Miyagashima, would you like to respond?
Sure. I just want to say that the city messed up. We did not honor the 6,000 or so petitioners who worked very hard to raise the minimum wage to 2015, increase in 15, 16, and 17. After I realized that really that was the heart of the whole matter, I did everything I could to keep that intact. Unfortunately, it did not work. The compromise that the councilor is talking about was the increase is 2015, 2017, 2019. With 2015, it's 840, 2017, it's 930, and 2019 is 1010. What would I do different? change the charter, ask that the charter be changed so that when a organization does bring what they did do, which they did follow the rules, that it has to go be put into place and with no deviation.
I'd like to ask candidate Ortega about this question. What were your thoughts on the city council taking action and actually amending and then voting on this minimum wage proposal that was brought before? Would you agree with the action they took, or did you feel that that needed to be go to the voters?
I did not agree with what the current city council did. I believe that they didn't, first of all, do enough research. I understand that they had these 6,000 people that did sign these petitions. But from what I understand on the city charter, the city council actually had the option to give this on to the voters, and they chose not to do that. You know, I've talked to people on both sides of the spectrum. I've talked to people that they were supposed to benefit from the increase. Unfortunately, it has hurt them. For example, an employee is scheduled to work 6 hours. The employer now has the option to send them home after 4 hours because business is down. So now the employee, rather than getting that extra $16, they have over 80 cents, they lost $16. I've talked to business owners that this affected them as well. And what they just basically did is they're watching their budget, as all business owners should be. And so what they've done is they have cut back. And so it hasn't been a win-win situation for anybody. I think this is something that should have gone to the voters and maybe a little bit more time to see the whole picture, not just jump into because one group decided this is what the city needed.
Okay, well, this is obviously is a big topic, and that's also the topic that's going on social media. Samantha, you said that people have been talking about minimum wage on social media.
Yes, we have another question on this from Angelica Rubio, and she is addressing Councilor Silva directly, and she wants to know, doesn't he agree that we should engage voters in local city elections, and that could have possibly been done with that minimum wage vote?
Okay, Councilor Silva, would you like to respond?
Well, again, thank you, Angelica, for that question. Again, the question that came before us was, should we raise minimum wage? It was not to put it on the ballot, and there's a big difference there, and that is what I was voting on. The mayor mentioned earlier that the city messed up. Unfortunately, I really felt that if we had strong leadership from the mayoral position, we could have navigated through this process much easier, and the research that was done by both myself and Councilor Leventino and Ms. Rubio was actually part of those early negotiations. She sat in there, so she was much part of the discussion that we were having to try to come to a negotiated settlement that would be best for all parties.
Councilor Silva, do you feel that the minimum wage the city council acted appropriately by amending and then voting on the minimum wage, or do you feel it should have been in the voters' hands?
Well, the way the charter was written is the council votes on it prior to make it an ordinance. If we vote to not make it an ordinance, then that is at that point when it goes to the voters. So basically, what we did in accepting it, we actually approved what the voters wanted. They wanted to raise minimum wage, and we approved it. That's what we did. So we didn't deny them the right of minimum wage. We gave the voters what they wanted.
Okay, we have the calls coming in. Once again, the number to call is 646-2212 to ask a question to the candidates. Right now, we are going to Benito. Benito, are you there?
Now we are going to Benito.
Benito, can you turn down your radio, please?
Yes.
Or turn it off?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Do you have a question for the candidates?
Yes, I'd like someone, or all of them, to talk to me, explain the GRT, the gross revenue tax. Why does it keep increasing? Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's start with candidate Montoya Ortega. Would you like to weigh in on this?
Yes, Benito, that's a very, thank you for that question. You, along with myself and practically the other 100,000 people here in Las Cruces, have the same question. I do not have that answer, and I would go ahead and just let my other two counterparts here answer that, as they have the idea since they were the ones in on this.
Okay, Mayor Miyagishima.
Okay, well, thanks, Benito. Hopefully I have a few minutes to explain this, because this is going to go way back to 2004 when Governor Richardson was running for president. He wanted to be a tax-cutting Democrat, and so he says, I'm going to remove the tax off food and medicine. The legislature really didn't want to do that because they knew that was going to be very difficult for cities to make up. That's 10% Our budget is $80 million operating. That was going to be $8 million that we were going to lose. So he says, you know what? We'll hold them harmless, and we will use our revenues from the oil and tax revenues. So that's how that came about. So fast forward it to a couple years ago, the writing was on the wall. The state was having a difficult time balancing their budget, and they kept looking at all the cities that they were holding harmless. And unfortunately, the current administration decided to pull the plug and say, no more, we're cutting you guys off. But we're going to go ahead and let you tax your residents so that you can make up the money that we basically went back on this agreement that the previous administration did. Okay, so, and you can raise it up to 3/8 of a percent. So, all right, so listen to this. After that, when we decided to do that and implement it, there was discussion, and I have the three different House bills, and I have the numbers here. I won't go over them, but I do have them, where legislators were saying, even if you raise 1/8, we're going to take the rest of the 2/8 away. You're not going to be able to do this. So the city moved forward and had to pass that 3/8 gross receipts tax just to make us whole where we were before. We would have loved to just been left alone, but they did this. Seven other cities throughout New Mexico followed suit. They knew they didn't want to do this, but to lose 10% of our budget, or $8 million, had been planning for this reduction. We were slowly reducing our spending year after year for the last 4 years prior to reducing it by about $1 million to $1.5 million. So we were already running at a very lean budget, but to try to make up $8 million, I challenge my candidates, my colleagues here on the dais, to tell me where they would make that $8 million up.
Okay, Councilor Silva.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Benito. I'm going to really try to simplify this for you, Benito, in that I was the only councilor that voted no to that tax increase, because I don't believe that we should tax just simply because we've been given the right to tax. The reason I voted no is because the funds were not earmarked for any particular projects, and that is one that I really felt should have gone to the voters, similar to the transportation tax that was voted no this past November or a year ago. When you're looking at economic tough times for a community such as Las Cruces, and you're raising taxes or GRT taxes just to raise them, I don't think that that's very wise.
Okay, let's get
Anthony. Can I expand on something real quick that was left on?
We do got some calls we'll get you real quick if you can get in.
Yeah, is regarding why Benito wanted to know why it kept on increasing. Now the county raised the gross receipts tax as well, which we don't believe that was prudent. They were only losing $200,000, not $8 million like the city. And for them to take the full 1/8%, I think was...
Let's give candidate Ortega a chance to run. She has a comment on this.
Benito, I'm sorry. Once again, like I said, that was a really good question. And, you know, my concern is like how you said that, you know, how you wanted it explained. If this is something that the city knew about since 2004, why are we barely hearing about it this year? That was actually a really good question. Thank you for the question.
Okay, we have time for one more call. Let's go ahead and go to, are we going to David? Is that right? David, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Okay, what's your question? We don't have much time.
Okay, well, I just wanted to mention, you know, that I grew up here, and I know that it's kind of been touted as a retirement community for a long time in previous administrations, and I know there's a lot for the kids to do.
All right, what's your question, David?
Yeah, the guy earlier about what can millennials do. That's why I'm in the support of the film industry coming here to town. And I know that Jeff Steinborn's been working hard to have the soundstage built. And I think that it will attract a lot of production companies to utilize it, but also employ a lot of...
What's your question, David?
I just want to know, how would they feel about the film industry being... coming to Las Cruces and this Cruces being more film-friendly. Thanks.
Okay, real quick, Councilor Silva.
Yes, the film industry is just one of many industries that we can go after to bring to this area. I know that presently the city is working in collaboration with NMSU at Arrowhead Center in building what they were calling some type of the innovative thinking in regards to how to bring films to this area. So the film industry, yes, there is potential to bring more films and film dollars to this area.
Mayor Miyagashima?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, David, for asking that. This is an example of leadership. The next day after I found out that the White Sands Film Festival was ending, I had it on the the docket for the city council to discuss at a work at a potential work session to see whether or not we're going to take it over. We had staff evaluate it. They took a look at it. The best method was to work with the university, perhaps give them some funding, and let them operate it independently. I am supportive of that. I'm supportive of the backlot and other amenities that go along with the film industry, and I appreciate you asking that question.
Candidate Ortega, we only have about 10 seconds.
David, thank you for that question. It definitely, if that's something that the constituents or the citizens of Las Cruces want or need, definitely why not? And that's really great that we reacted to this on the next day. Too bad the rest of the decisions City Council has made don't get that much attention. Thank you.
Okay, now we want to thank all of the candidates for being here to answer your questions. Thank you very much to incumbent Mayor Ken Miyagashima, District 1 City Councilor Miguel Silva, and candidate and local business owner Gina Montoya Ortega. Remember that early voting is underway right now, and you could do that at City Hall for the municipal elections. And, of course, City Hall is located at 700 North Main Street, and it's running through Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday voting is also available from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and October 24th and the 31st. And remember, you can watch the debate tonight at 7 o'clock on KRWG-TV. This is KRWG Las Cruces and KRXG Silver City.